Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 25th. Thursday, right?
Yes.
Okay, it is a Thursday, and we like that only second to Friday.
Because right? It's close to the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Friday is our favorite day. Thursday is the second favorite day. So this is cool. Welcome to the show. Beautiful day outside. We continue to bomb the hell out of the terrorists so we can go back to bed and know that the world is going to be, it'll still be here tomorrow.
I was wondering what the world is going to be.
It'll be here tomorrow. That's good.
So,
well, we have a special guest. We're going to get to him in a few minutes. And I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. It's Rosh Hashanah today. Mm-hmm. It started last night. And for those of you who are under a rock, that means the Jewish New Year. And did you go to a dinner or anything last night?
I didn't, no. Yeah. Is it New Year's Eve? Was it New Year's Eve last night?
Yeah.
And so today is New Year's Day.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha.
So I'm not supposed to be working, but then again, I'm not religious, you know. So I would feel phony, you know, if I just took the breaks and didn't really follow the rules, you know.
Hey, it's an excuse for a day off.
Exactly. There you go, you know. But, but we have the weekend coming, so that'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans for the weekend? Going anywhere?
I don't.
No, good.
No.
Good.
I know. It's been traveling too much, but no, not this weekend.
I know. You've become an ambassador of LA.
I know.
You're going everywhere now. Wow. So there's a lot of things going on. I just wanted to bring up real quick. The iPhone. Did you hear about the iPhone bending?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about iOS.
No, well, yeah. I was going to talk about that, but but actually, I think this is worse. People are actually able to bend the phone and sort of create an arch with it, and that's bad.
Yeah,
it's very bad. You know,
yeah,
I don't know how the glass doesn't break. It must be a little bit elastic, but
yeah, that's weird.
But they're bending the metal in the back, so. It's, I think it's only on the, no, it's on both, no, it's actually on the Plus. So, that big one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met anybody that said, I'm going to get the big one.
I haven't either. I know so many people that have the 6.
Right.
No one that has the 6 Plus.
I know, you know, so when I went to the store, I went to T-Mobile, I said, I'll bet you nobody's going to sell those. He's like, no, we're sold out. I said, yeah, it's just in the beginning because people can't get the regular ones.
Yeah, and they probably don't have as many of the Plus as they do the 6.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm willing to bet that it's not going to be very popular. I don't know
whether
they'll... I don't know if they'll continue to make it or not, but I just don't think it's going to succeed as much as a smaller one.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, and then what about the iOS?
They had to pull it.
The upgrade,
8.
Right?
Yeah, because it was stopping people from... The fingerprint wasn't working on the 5S. Is it the 5S that
has it? The 5S has it.
So the fingerprint wasn't working, and some people couldn't even make calls.
Really?
Yeah. So you can't even download it anymore. They're trying to fix the problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. This always happens. You see, that's why I don't put those things on right away. There's always bugs
and
stuff.
Wait to see what the issues are.
Exactly. Remember, that's what I said before, and I knew it would happen.
Yeah.
You never use the first version of something.
Right.
You know, you just don't. So you wait usually for, like, if this is 8, then 8.1 or something. You know?
Right, yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? That's Apple, and we're in their ecosystem, and there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of problems, though, this round.
I know.
Like, the iPhone bends, and iOS had to be pulled.
I know, great stuff. But, yeah, so
what happens when you've downloaded the iOS 8? Does it just go back to 7?
No. They're saying that you're supposed to download the 8.0 again, the original one.
Oh.
And they tell you how to do it or something.
Oh.
Yeah. So you don't have to go back to the 7, just to the 8.0.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was the release 8.01 that was bad. So now they're releasing 8.02. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, that's Apple. We're going to get to our guest because he's got a bail in half an hour. So we have Jesse Macht in the studio. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, you're actually coming back.
Coming
which
back.
Which is nice. Do you remember when you were here last?
I was here a few months ago, right after I had recorded the record, but not when it was yet out, which just came out
It just came
ago.
Out for you?
Came
wow.
out 2 days ago. So this is
congratulations.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been just gave birth to a baby.
Exactly. Yeah. It was about 9 months.
Yeah.
And it was I had to push it out. It was an incredibly painful experience, but in the most beautiful way. So,
really?
So you're right. You can liken it to that if you'd like. I don't want to say I know exactly what that would feel like, but
exactly. Well, you're coming pretty close with the song, with the record.
Yeah, but it's exciting. It came out on Tuesday, so it's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. It's called Suitcase Heart. And, it just came out all in the online stuff, and I've got a bunch of hard copies for live shows and stuff.
Very cool. So you perform around town? Do you ever go out of town?
Yeah. I'm actually playing this weekend in San Diego. There's a music festival going on called the Adams Fair, the Adams Street Fair. Adams is like a real, hopping street in San Diego. They've got a bunch of coffee shops and venues and restaurants and bars and stuff. So
is that like downtown San Diego?
It's not downtown San Diego.
Okay,
it's another part of San Diego. I'm not as familiar with San Diego, but Adams Street, it's like, if there were a show here on Melrose and then there's another show in Santa Monica. So it's kind of like that.
I see. Cool.
But so the Adams Street Fair, I'm playing on Saturday at 8 o'clock at Lestat's.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so is that 8 in the morning or 8 at night?
8 at night.
Okay,
at night,
good for you.
In the morning, I don't think my voice is warm.
I know. Artists are not known for getting up early in the morning.
Well, that's great. That's the funny thing about all these radio shows. You have to wake up and come in.
I know.
You're going to be like, we just finished our gig at 2. Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Should be sleeping right now.
That's right.
So this is cool. So when did you start getting into music and stuff? Early on in your life?
Yeah, I've been playing music since I was a little kid, and I played piano and did that. All parents make their kids play piano and stuff. And
that's true.
I would argue with my mother every day. I'd have to practice and stuff and rehearse, and eventually I said, she said, well, if you're gonna quit playing piano, you have to play something else. So I said, well, then I'll play the drums.
Yeah.
Of course I just wanted to make noise. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And she sort of called my bluff and said, fine. And she found like a cheap drum set and put it in the backyard, and she said, so you're gonna be back here practicing all the time, right? And I said, yeah, of course I am. And before I knew it, I was practicing every day and playing drums. And that just led into just loving music and learning how to play bass guitar and then getting back into piano and singing. So
very cool. So you've been around music a lot.
I've been around music ever since I was a little
kid. But you should be grateful about the piano. My parents made me play an accordion when I was early. Do you even know what it is?
Yeah.
Those things that, you play with a...
I actually have a
squeeze box is what they used to call them.
Yeah. They're beautiful instruments, though. The last song on my record, There's Always Two, is an accordion song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just vocal, cool. Accordion, and a little bit of piano.
I didn't think anybody played those anymore.
Oh, it's beautiful,
I would love to be able to play that. I was made to play the piano, and I hated it. And now I wish I could. Like, I used to be so good at playing, and then I let it go because I didn't appreciate it. And
yeah,
now
piano is cool. Piano is cool, But I didn't really show any affinity for pianos. And they sort of like went with, this was like the mid 60s, so I guess it was popular at the time or something. But
pianos have been around for a little bit. They've been popular for a few hundred
not
years.
Not pianos, I mean accordions.
Accordions.
Yeah.
But popular for a little while too.
Yeah. But eventually when I grew a little older and could decide what I wanted, I think I was 12 years old or something, I decided I want a guitar,
Because
I always liked to sing and stuff, and I thought with an accordion you can't really sing,
Yeah.
But with a piano you can. But actually you can with an accordion, but it's not the same as a guitar, A guitar you can play without needing a band and it still sounds great,
Yep.
So
but an accordion is a really beautiful instrument. I love the way the air flows through it.
Really?
And you're playing piano with the right side and playing chords with the left side with all those buttons. My uncle plays accordion, and he's always the hit when we get together for family stuff. 'Cause he'll get up and play accordion, but he won't sing. And it's very funny because he's so stoic when he plays. His uh-huh. face just has just the littlest smirk, but uh-huh. but pretty serious. And he's playing this accordion music, and accordion upbeat can be pretty funny. It's like polka music.
Almost. It is. It's yeah. like Russians
so,
dancing.
Exactly. So to see him so serious and then bobbing left and right with this stoic face just makes everyone laugh. So my family loves it when he plays accordion.
That's cool. Were you born here, or did you move from somewhere else?
I was born here. My father's an actor, and he's originally from New York, and my family is from New York. I have brothers and sister, and they all grew up in New York. And when my dad got his first contract to work at Universal out here, he flew the whole family out. He had his first stuff that he was doing, movies and TV. And after a few years, they had a California celebration baby. So that was me. I was the I'm the California-born baby. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I have a New York family, and I'm the California kid.
So. I see. Do you have any older siblings that
yeah,
were
yeah,
born
I have
there?
Two older brothers and an older sister.
Oh, cool. So it's a nice size family.
Oh yeah, we're pretty big.
Are they in music too?
No, my they're all doing different things. My brother's an actor. My other brother's a TV editor. And my sister, she was a lawyer and now is a graphic designer and fundraises for this great Jewish camp, actually.
Cool. So yeah, a creative a family.
Yeah, everyone's creative out here.
Definitely. Yeah, I can see if she likes graphic design. How did she ever get into law? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, it worked the other way around, actually.
No, that's what I'm saying. She did law first and then went into graphic design. What I'm saying is, how could she do the law before that if she has the affinity for design?
I'm going to make sure to ask her about
that.
Yeah, exactly.
That. But it's probably because you feel like you're expected to do something big, you know, and, and people get into law thinking that's going to be big, that's going to, I'm going to make money, power, things like that. But it's very hard to be an attorney, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's not an easy thing, and some people just can't handle it. I mean, I know of a few people that went to college, learned to be a lawyer, became a lawyer, and then they stopped, and they went into something else, you know?
Yeah, and it's a lot of school.
It is a lot of school.
She was an assistant district attorney for the Bronx, so she was dealing with some real heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And she had her first child, and I think she just fell in love with being a mother and wanted to make sure to be there for her kid, and working so hard in the Bronx, doing all that stuff was, I think, a lot heavy. And now she's doing great work. She actually did the artwork for my website that I'm sure you're looking at on your...
Right.
But www.jessiemachtmusic.com.
Okay.
She runs a design studio called Apron Strings.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, so she did that, and she did the album art. She helped with the album artwork for my record, so she's doing cool stuff.
Very nice. Okay, cool. So are you guys a close family?
We are. I think some people are like, wow, you guys are like a really close family. Y'all hang out together. And
yeah, that's
like,
pretty
cool. We
like
each other.
Huh?
We enjoy each other's company.
That's cool. Not every family can say
that. I guess, I know. That's why I try to remember how grateful I am about it.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of Southern Californian families are like that.
Yeah.
That's just the impression that I've got since I've been here.
Wow.
But more so in Southern California than anywhere else that I've been and come across.
Yeah, oh, wow. Pretty cool.
My mother wouldn't have it any other way. Even if we were all fighting, we'd all have to be in the same room, and she would just sit there and make sure that we are all hanging out together.
Yeah.
So
everybody's just sitting around the table. Nobody says anything.
So we may as well smile and enjoy it. So that's what's going on.
Cool. We're talking to musician Jesse Macht. You guys can go and check it out. JesseMachtMusic.com. That's M-A-C-H-T. And let's go ahead and play one of your songs.
That'd be great.
And what's this one called that we're going to play?
So it's the title track off the record. It's called Suitcase Heart.
Okay, so and that's the name of the album too, right?
Yep.
Released on the 23rd. Sounds pretty good to me. Let's take a listen.
We want to find the fire. When it comes, it's hard to hold. We want to chase the silver. Too hard to carry gold. We wanna make mistakes. We want hearts that won't break. We wanna feel the rhythm as it comes and goes. It comes and goes. Time slowly puts holes in your sweater, loosens the threads that hold us together. When it all just falls apart and it's spilling over, it's the end or just the don't be afraid to go. La 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 la. Don't be afraid to go. La 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 la. We wanna keep on moving, keep on dancing. Photographs that I can see. We wanna make mistakes. We want hearts that won't break. We wanna race the tide as it comes and goes. It comes and goes. Time slowly puts holes in your sweater, loosens the threads that hold us together. When it all just falls apart and it's spilling over, it's the end or just the start. So start me over on back, your suitcase on, with the sunlight at your toes. Don't be afraid.
I'm going to fade this one away so we can talk to you for a few more minutes. You have to leave. Okay, that's how we're going to stop that. Cool song, man. I really like it.
Thank you.
You know, I'm trying to think of like what style it is, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's your style, you know, and it's good, soft rock, you know. Is that the kind of...
Yeah, I think it's like sort of alternative, alternative sort of pop rock. I'm really into Ryan Adams and Billy Joel and a lot of stuff that comes out of Nashville that's not quite country.
Right. More vocal-based and stuff.
Yeah, storytelling. Singer-songwriter is really what the genre they would call it. On iTunes, I'm under singer-songwriter genre. So that's
Cool.
So that's what I would be, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how long did it... So how many how many tracks do you have on the album?
The record's 9 tracks.
9 tracks?
Wow. Yeah. And,
is that a full album?
Yeah.
It is,
that's
yeah.
That's a full album. Usually, at least 8 or 9 is what it is. So, yeah, this one's 9, and I'm going to have 3 more that come out right at the top of next year as sort of like Suitcase Heart B, like the sort of B takes and the other stuff. This was about 1.5 years in the making and writing for 2 years. I have some co-writes on there. I did some co-writes with some great songwriters who just donated some of their time, and it was great to work together with other songwriters and on my own for this.
I know, to collaborate, I mean, in music especially, you know, I like when I listen to bands and things like this, it's like they're so tight, and, you know, it always takes like a group of people to really make a good song, you know. You can't just do it by yourself. I mean, some people just play with the guitar, but if you want something professional and stuff, that something that's lasting, you got to collaborate with people.
Yeah, what's been so amazing about this experience, but we do it whatever we make, but it's so fun to see how many people come together to help you make the thing that you're making. This record was, there's people, there's players on it, there's the producer, there's engineers, there's people who are helping to do art, people putting it out. It's just been incredible, and working with everybody is awesome. So now it's going to be fun to share with the world, going on tour, playing around LA, having the record release party at the end of next month, which is cool. Have you ever been to Harvel's in Santa Monica?
Harvel's?
It's this blues joint. It's this blues and rock and roll joint. It's a really fun place. It's the kind of place that you don't necessarily even need to know the artist, because you know when you go in there, you're just going to have a great time. There's great blues music every night, dance music, dance floor. So they opened up their doors to me, which is really cool. I'm doing the last Friday night of October, October 24th at Harvel's, which will be the record release, and it's going to be really fun. There's a lot of different performers that's going to be going on. I have some fun stuff in store for the audience, like aside from the music, that'll be cool. Harvel's in Santa Monica on October 24th is the release for the...
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So you, so not only you have the release, but you're also doing other.
I'm doing a record release party. It's a party, mm-hmm. so it's a performance of it. So, yeah, this weekend in San Diego is just an acoustic show, and then I'm doing a release in San Diego on October 22nd. A release in New York, I mean in LA here, and then I'll go back to New York and do stuff out there because I love going out to New York City and music. Yeah,
yeah,
very cool.
Yeah. That's where your roots are, right?
Yeah, that's where my roots are.
Not you, but your family. I guess.
Yeah. Even when the Yankees play badly, I still go back out to New York and go play music. But yeah, I'm. This summer after actually I saw you guys, I did a home concert tour all around the country. I went from LA to Denver and all the way up to Portland and then down and through the South and all the way back up to Toronto and New York and back.
Oh, how fun.
And I played a bunch of venues, but in between the venues I was doing house concerts.
I remember you talking about that last time.
Yeah, and people had these private shows and I came. And they'd either have like 15, 20 people or 200 people. Mm. And I was sort of nervous about it when I left. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know what to expect. And it turned out to be some of the most fun shows I've ever played because it's so intimate. You know, you're in people's living room and I set up my stuff and you really get to connect with your audience and they ask you questions. You get to tell stories about the songs and maybe somebody.
That's true. That's fun. Huh? Yeah. So it's like more intimate with the audience.
Much more intimate. And then you don't have to pay a door cover. You get free drinks because the host is playing. For the drinks. So it was a totally different experience. I was a little nervous about it, but it turned out to be one of the best experiences of my life.
What really? Was the difference between playing in front of 15 people to 200 at someone's home?
Yeah. Well, what was cool about 15 people is that you're in a really small living room, and I bring Christmas lights, and I make it like very moody and kick candles everywhere. And you really are having one-on-one experience with people, and they're asking you stories, or maybe they say, you know, will you play this song? That's my favorite song ever, and I'm more willing to do that when it's only like 15 people. And then like the 200, this guy rented an enormous sound system for me and a sound guy, and we did it in his backyard sort of in the late afternoon during sunset, and there were kids running around everywhere and people hanging out in Denver and drinking beer, and he got kegs, and he pretty much had a Red Rocks intimate concert in his backyard.
Wow.
And it was just it was gorgeous, it was beautiful, and people really listened, and it's just a different vibe with people running around and doing that kind of thing than it is small. But every show was really wonderful. I think what people took away to me, what they heard the most, was that they liked hearing the stories of the record, knowing why I wrote the songs that I wrote, and then just getting to sort of interact with me and sort of get the artist's perspective. It's like a behind the music kind of tour, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just feel much more connected to the artists. The ones that I've gone to as a audience member, seeing house concerts and seeing songwriters come and do it, I'm just so much more connected to the music because I feel like I'm having a real friendship connection. I'm just seeing this person 10 feet away, and I don't have to pay a cover. I don't have to be scared by the doorman.
Yeah.
You know?
All that I know. Stuff. I'd like to meet this guy whose backyard you were playing in. I mean, I wish you making a lot of money in the future.
Yeah.
Just keep it up, you know, because God knows I've tried, but it's pretty late in my life now.
You end up doing all right because people are there and they want to support you. They buy your records and all your merch, and it's just, the truth is that we're all independent songwriters. We're trying to make our way in the business and getting my name known. And to get my name known in at a party atmosphere like that in front of 200 people in a backyard is a lot more fun than showing up at a random singer-songwriter venue in Denver where I don't know anybody and 20 people coming. Yeah. And, you know, they're not really being any connection. Now I have 200 people that are really interested in what I'm doing because they're at the party too. So the house concerts have been really cool, and I just over the moon about how well they go. And I'm going to go back out and do a bunch more because people like them so much that they're already booking me for more. So
sounds good.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
So Suitcase Heart has like an ongoing theme between the songs.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so what is the theme there?
Yeah. Well, for me, why I really wanted to make the record is about 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with this thing called an SVT, which a lot of people do have. I just didn't know I had it for my whole life. And what it essentially means is that I had an extra electric impulse in my heart. So when I'd get excited, when I'd play shows, when I'd play baseball, when I'd do an audition, laugh, joke around, be at an interview like this, anytime I'd get a little nervous, my heart would start beating fast. So I thought, oh, okay, my heart's beating fast, like normal people. But it beat so fast. It was like,
wow. Pretty scary stuff.
So I played this show and I almost passed out, and I went back to a cardiologist, and I had gotten tested over the years, but they never found it. And anyway, they were like, oh, your heart beats 260 beats per minute, which wow. is about 100 beats per minute faster than it should.
Oh, my
God. So they sent me to the hospital. I had this procedure. 95% of people who have the procedure are fine, and I'm one of that 95%. But it's definitely a scary experience. It's a, you know, you're dealing with your mortality in that way. And the idea of just, okay, what do I want to make with music? What do I want to say? You know, that experience sort of helped me reflect on my life so far as a songwriter, as a man, as a friend, as a brother, you know, a family member, and as a boyfriend, as a lover. And I had just sort of a perspective on all that that I wanted to tell. This idea that we're reaching for our expectations, for our dreams, for the things that we want to accomplish. And sometimes the path goes in a different way.
Right.
And it's time, instead of trying to stay so stuck on your path, maybe if we open our eyes, you see that the things you want are actually all around you. But if we're so concentrated on what's down the line, then you miss what's to your right and left.
Right.
It's impossible to fully do that, I think.
Right.
But the best we can is all that I think we can ask for. So, you know, you develop baggage, and that baggage weighs on your heart. And that's why we came up with Suitcase Heart, that your stories lay with you, and how do you move forward, and how do we express that love and that trust and those stories to the people around us. So that's where the
Cool. Do you have a regular band that you tour with, or is it like separate musicians that you put together?
I have a few guys who are the same, but yeah, it depends where I'm going. The guys who made the record are different guys who were in Lafayette, Louisiana, and in Nashville, Tennessee. The cool thing, when I recorded the songs in Nashville, Tennessee, there's a band called Zac Brown Band. Have you heard of Zac Brown Band? They're like a big country band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was really lucky. I got to go to their studio and make the record there.
Wow,
so I got to use Zac Brown's acoustic guitar, and the studio was beautiful, and the players were just incredible, just really, really great players.
Very cool.
The bass player's name is Dave LaBruyere, and he played bass for the first John Mayer records. So I was pretty stoked to be playing with some great guys in a great space.
Very cool. Well, it looks like your career is going well. You know, we wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you.
Well, actually, you don't need luck. What you need is really hard work.
That's it.
Although luck does play some in it, but I usually don't like to tell people good luck. I'm like, you know, all the best to you, or
keep working hard.
Yeah, I hope you succeed and all that, or I know you'll make it. And that's what it's about. You know, I mean, it's impossible to put in so much effort into something and not be able to get something out of it, you know? I mean, you just, everything that you put a lot of work into comes out nicely.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, the love of music is really pushing me through, and I'm really grateful for the experiences, and writing these songs was a great way to begin this energy moving forward. So I'm excited to share it for the next year.
Awesome. Yeah. Everybody go check out jessemarktmusic.com, and you're on SoundCloud as well, iTunes too, probably.
Twitter, iTunes, Amazon, every single
thing. Except the record store, because they don't have them anymore.
No more record stores. Spotify, wherever you got to find me, I'll be there.
Awesome. Well, Jesse, you have to leave, so thank you so much for joining us
this
morning.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the show.
When you have the next album, you're welcome to come back.
And thank you.
You said you're doing 3 more songs, right?
Yeah, soon. Yeah. Yep.
So that'll be cool to hear.
I'll have a holiday song, so maybe we'll come back for that.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody go out, get the album Suitcase Heart, Jesse Marked. Jesse, thanks again.
Great.
All the best to
thanks.
You.
All right, bye.
All right. So, yeah, everybody go get the music. I like it, you know. I mean, it's my kind of music. Mm-hmm. It's soothing. It's got stories to it. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's relaxing music.
Yeah. Okay, Jesse, take care. So, now some things in the news here that I wanted to mention is we talked about, I don't know if you remember, we talked about Joan London, who used to be on Good Morning America. And she found out she had cancer. So now she's on the cover of People magazine, totally bald.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
She shaved her head, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, not because of the chemotherapy, because she hasn't started it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So she just said she shaved it because she's prepared. She doesn't want to see her hair just, or herself losing her hair like that.
Doesn't want to go through the heartbreak.
Wow. It's so weird, but yet, you know, it's, I mean, we're not accustomed to people being bald like this, especially women.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like your heart goes out to them, you know? Yeah. I mean, because what can you do?
Definitely. But that's something that she's just trying to prevent. It's obviously, it's a painful situation, but she's trying to prevent more pain.
Is it painful when you lose your hair?
I mean, not physically painful, right, but okay, emotionally and mental.
That's true.
I think she's just trying to make... Try make it easier for herself.
That's true. That makes sense. You know, yeah. I mean, that way she's already prepared. She won't see herself losing her hair and stuff. So that would be cool. And she still looks very feminine and stuff, you know, which is cool.
Yeah.
So, my heart goes out to her. I mean, it's got to be like the worst thing when you find out you have cancer, you know, because you don't know how it's going to turn out.
Right.
You know, some people survive, some do not. And it's pretty scary stuff, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know how I would deal with this. But you know what? It's not just cancer. It's everything, you know.
Right.
I mean, my dad has Parkinson's, and you've seen him deteriorate every day and stuff, you know. So, and you know, it's irreversible, too. So there's a lot of things that are terrible when we reach an older age, you know, and it sucks.
Definitely.
It really sucks.
Yeah. Old diseases.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and or being stuck on a plane where the engine blew up and just thinking you're going to die, you know. I mean, if you die, give me a fast death, you know. Let's do it quickly and get it over with, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of planes, did you read the article about Richard Branson?
Virgin Airlines, everything.
Yeah, Virgin everything. Right. I always think of Virgin Airplanes, right. Virgin Atlantic. He has said that he gives his employees, they can take as much vacation time as they want. He trusts that they won't jeopardize the company or their job for vacation.
Oh, wow.
So
that's pretty
basically
cool.
You can have as much vacation as you want.
Right.
When you work at Virgin, because he believes that his employees love their job, love the brand, love the company, and they won't let...
Wow, what a gamble that is.
They won't damage the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't imagine doing that in a big company, but apparently he thinks it works, you know.
And apparently Netflix does the same thing, and that's where he based it off. He based it off the Netflix way of running a business, and that's how they've become really big, and that's how they treat their employees.
Wow, then maybe it works, you know.
Yeah.
Companies come up with a lot of innovative ways, you know. I mean, Google, you know, all the stories about how great it is to work for Google. They have like dining rooms and childcare and all that stuff, you know. So gyms, just so you don't have to leave the office, you know.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but people seem to be happy there.
Yeah, and the idea is, I mean, he said here that if you really think about it, what makes you happy, like housing, security, opportunity for your kids, and you know, you have to work to get that to gain money. So people, like, yes, taking vacation is great and everything, but people also realize that you have to work and you have to keep up the company and your job, and you need your job to be able to be happy to
be able
security.
To take the vacations, right.
So that's the idea around it.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always done a lot of innovative things, you know. Yeah. I like him. Some people can't stand him, but I think he's pretty cool.
I do, too. I mean, he has his own island.
Yeah.
He has his own island. He's pretty cool.
And he seems like a nice guy, you know. I mean, at least in public.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Richard Branson. Yeah, I mean, he's got so much money. So many companies, you know. I don't even know where everything is, but obviously the airlines is the most visible one.
Right. Yeah. Well, they have jobs with to do with saving the ocean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and keeping the ocean best, making the ocean better, and things like that. Mm. They have a lot of jobs available in that area.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't really know what that entails.
Yeah.
But that's one of their job.
Right.
That's one of the sections of the company.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they better go after some Japanese people. I don't know if you read this, but this is pretty heartbreaking. I guess the dolphin hunting season started in Japan, and it goes from September through March. So this is like 5 months of killing a lot of dolphins.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Now, you know, I don't get the idea about hunting at all. I don't think it's necessary for our survival. I don't think the thing is, I'm talking about like hunting also where people just go and hunt for fun. Mm-hmm. This is not for fun, obviously. They get sold either for their meat or they're sold alive to like a SeaWorld place or something yeah. like that. But the thing is that dolphins are like a protected species, aren't they? I mean, they're like...
I would think so.
Yeah,
I don't know for sure.
But not in Japan. I mean, they're a quota of 2,000 dolphins a year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot, you know. And I think also because, look, I mean, some animals, they get hunted, we don't really care much about. But dolphins are like, they're so much like humans, you know, and we have them in the zoos and things like that.
Right.
You know, it's not like... that they're dangerous or anything, you know.
Yeah.
Things like, I mean, even sharks that are dangerous and stuff, you don't just go and hunt and kill a lot of them because we're affecting the environment, you
yeah.
know. Just like you said, save the oceans, you know.
Definitely.
And we actually have a show here on Wednesdays called Save the Oceans, and they talk a lot about it. So, actually, yeah, with the Barbie Twins, if anybody want to check it out, Save the Oceans on Wednesdays. So this breaks my heart because dolphins are just like, I don't understand different cultures that just like will kill anything, you know?
Yeah, definitely. They're such free animals and they're so pretty. And we
right.
like being, I mean, when you go to the beach and it's like, oh my God, there's a dolphin. It's like the coolest thing ever that you've seen a dolphin.
I know. And then people just go and kill them, you know?
Yeah.
And, so there's a lot of controversy on this, but I guess the killers always win. I don't know.
Sad.
Yeah. And staying still in Southeast Asia, I guess, did you hear about this guy, this American guy who was arrested in North Korea and sentenced to 6 years of hard labor?
I didn't know.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I mean, this guy's 24 years old. I mean, you go to like labor camp. I don't know if you ever come back, you know?
Yeah, what did he do wrong?
That's the thing. I have, they're blaming him for like... committing acts hostile to North Korea. But the thing is, my question is, you know, I don't care, he's innocent, not innocent. What the hell are you doing there in the first place?
Yeah.
Why do you go to North Korea?
There's so many things happening over in Asia. I mean, in Thailand, there was two British people that got hunted and killed down. They were just on their honeymoon.
Wow.
And so it's scary that all in all these different countries, what's
right.
going on when, I mean, it was two British people just on honeymoon.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting killed.
Right. But let's say that's a crime, right? But
yeah.
But here, I mean, this is the state doing this. He's pretty shit out of luck. I don't think they're going to let him go unless it's
yeah.
going to become like an international thing. But I just don't understand. I mean, I wouldn't even go close to there. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, what the hell was he doing there? Maybe he was a spy. Maybe, I don't know.
I feel like, the government or somebody should get involved to try and...
Well, yeah. So he and his family are saying, you know, the government's not doing enough and all that stuff. So I'm sure they're working on back channels to
right.
release him. But I just, you know, I don't have sympathy for people that go to dangerous places for adventures or whatever, if that's the case here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many places in the world to go. Why would you go there? I mean, I'm not going to go close to any country that is so closed up like North Korea is.
Yeah.
It's a paranoid country. They think everybody's after them and they're dangerous. And then they try to negotiate the diplomatic things with Dennis Rodman.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he became our ambassador to North Korea. Did you ever see him?
No, I didn't.
You don't know what he looks like?
No.
Why don't you Google Dennis Rodman? He is a former basketball player, and he's crazy. You know, I mean, he's just like full of tattoos and piercings and shit like that. So it's hard to take him seriously.
And that's the ambassador?
No, well, I'm just kidding about it. But no, but he went and befriended the head of North Korea and then started sort of like speaking for us, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, you know, hoping that he could do something. Yeah, you got to look it up, man. Yeah. It's he's so bizarre looking. But that's the thing. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I guess it doesn't matter what you look like. If you play good basketball, they're going to take you and pay you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember he's so funny, though. He used to be on Howard Stern and tell all kinds of stories, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he was caught in the room by his girlfriend or something with a few women, and he told her, he said, yeah, they just fell off the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's... That's funny.
I know. So people do things, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you remember the first... Because I feel like there's been a sequence of them now. But the first baby that got that was killed from due to heat leaving the
parents leaving him in the car, right?
The man hasn't been, the dad hasn't, he's not getting the death penalty.
Oh, really?
No.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Maybe a plea bargain or something, you know. Maybe if he admits or something like that, they're going to go a little easier on him.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but the wife is still pleading his innocence.
Yeah. Huh? So they're not charging her with anything, just him?
I'm trying to read. I'm not exactly sure.
I think I was reading yesterday that they gave her a polygraph test. So I don't know what that... I haven't really followed it, so I don't know what's going on. But I know in the beginning they were going to get the mother in trouble too. And now I'm not so sure.
Right.
But the father sure... was found. He hasn't been convicted yet, but he's been charged with murder. And
It's been called a homicide. So,
yeah.
What is that? 20 years to life?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to be behind bars.
Yeah, it's a first degree murder, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty meditated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Pistorius, you know, where it's not so clear cut.
Right.
So
exactly.
I mean, but that guy got out of it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was found not guilty.
Yeah. Wow, I don't know, man. You kill somebody and you walk away. Shit.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy. Now, this is kind of funny. In Colorado, they found that there's a meth ring operating through taco trucks. So people will walk up to the taco truck and order, like, they're saying, like, six-pack or yellow cups. And those were code words for meth. So it's sort of like a Breaking Bad type of a thing, you know.
Yeah.
But they're saying about 17 people were indicted, so it was a ring, you know. And,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a big group of people doing that.
It is, you know.
Jeez.
And they have those taco trucks. You never know what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And they sell meth.
Wow.
People are really crazy, you know. I don't understand that. Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
And 17 people, that's a big group of people that are...
It is, you know, to organize something like that.
Yeah.
And I wonder how long they've been operating like this before they got caught, you know, but...
To have... grown into a 17-person whatever, I feel like it must have been a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like you don't expect a taco truck to do that. But I guess it's word of mouth, and word of mouth getting into the wrong person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, they said they netted a lot of money, you know. And the value of 55 pounds of meth could run between $750 to $1 million, actually.
Wow.
For 55 pounds. So it's pretty lucrative, I guess.
Yeah.
That's why people get into it. Well, I don't know. I would never try meth.
No.
I think it's crazy. And I've seen people... Have you seen pictures of people that have been on meth and stuff?
No, I haven't.
Sometimes they have it, like, on Facebook. People put it up and stuff. I mean, these people look like... like semi-human beings. I mean, they don't, you know, they often have like bruises and hair falling off, whatever, you know.
Yikes, yeah.
And yeah, it makes you like scratch yourself a lot or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so dangerous, you know, and people stay on it for years.
Yeah.
For years, because it's hard. It's a hard addiction to break. And I guess supposedly, I don't even know what it does. I think it's like speed or something, isn't it? It's supposed to make you like energetic and...
I have no idea, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. It's better you don't know about drugs, huh? I know.
The do you remember the story where the policeman punched repeatedly? It's a California Highway Patrol officer. The woman on the side of the road.
Yeah.
She's receiving $1.5 million under a settlement.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the officer has agreed to resign.
Yeah, and this was over texting while driving, right? I think that's why they stopped her. And because I haven't really followed the story, but I saw a headline or something. I did see the video, though. I mean, it's like you can tell.
Yeah.
They're really beating her up. It's not like they're trying to restrain her. And she's in handcuffs, too, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's bipolar.
Is he really? The cop?
Yeah.
Wow.
It came out that he was bipolar.
Yeah. Yeah, bipolar, man, that's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. And yeah, it can make you lose control and everything. I mean, God, you know, that's pretty bad. But yeah, you have to, I mean, if you hire somebody, I guess sometimes you never even know if they have it or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, they better be medicated and functioning, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like being a police officer where you're in situations where you can fly off the handle or because something bad is whatever.
Right.
I feel like that's kind of a big thing to know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they obviously get people in trouble. The mayor, not the mayor, but the police chief of Ferguson apologized, I guess, you know, for his officer shooting. What was his name? Brown?
Michael Brown.
Michael Brown, right. So, because there's still unrest going on there, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it, I think. Let's see, there's a few. Student accused of raping teacher. Wow, I don't even want to get to that one. Yeah, I guess, well, that's it. You know, I guess we're almost out of time here, so we might as well say goodbye until tomorrow.
Yep.
And this is no long weekend or anything, right? It's just a normal weekend?
Just a normal weekend.
Normal weekend. Okay, well, we'll make the best of it. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Morning radio. Tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.